Testing. Hey, look at that. Morning. Well, we're working on getting awake. Everybody else is ready to roll today. It's a wonderful day. It's beautiful sunshine. We've had nice moisture, and it's not 100 degrees outside. That's a good thing, right? Amen. Well, we're going to do a song just to begin our service. We're going to take a short break between first and second song because we want to do a Sunday school promotion, and then we'll move on with our worship time as well. So we're just giving you that heads up as we get started. So would you stand with me at this time, and let's open with prayer and let's bless the Lord, shall we? Lord God, we're so thankful that we can come together and we can just worship you and honor you with our time, and that we can be together as your Holy Spirit's temple. We understand and know that you are with us, and together we are able to fulfill a tremendous promise of being your church and your children. And I just pray, Lord God, that you will have your will and your way in our lives and in this service. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're just going to sing a song, and then we'll have that short break, and we'll continue on after that as well. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Amen. You can have a seat at this time, and we're going to have a Sunday school promotion.
Good morning. So today was the last day for Sunday school for this year, and we're going to start again on September 11th. But I have a Bible presentation to make. So Jacob Anderson, would you come up? So Jacob actually got promoted early into Miss June's class because we had a teacher that had to quit teaching, and so he's been in his new class since Christmas maybe. But he, when you go into that class, you get a Bible. So we wanted to give him his Bible today so that he has it for the summer. So Jacob. So you have a good summer. And we'll see you all in the fall.
Thank you so much, Elise. Very thankful for our superintendent who does such an outstanding job. And continue the good work. Amen. I don't know why everybody's laughing, but... All right, you all ready for some fun? All right, because this is going to be a fun song. It's not easy to sing along with. I'm giving you that heads up. There's lots of words, and you're going to be tripping over your tongue if you try, but that's okay because I want you to try. Does that sound good? All right, and you can't do this one sitting down. If you have the ability to stand, this is a good one for that. And I'm going to give you a little heads up. We're going to have a couple times during the song where I'm going to be shouting, singing. There's going to be echo from the rest of the worship group, and you're part of the echo. Okay, let me say that again with more excitement. I'm going to be shouting a really awesome thing in a singing, shouting kind of tone. And the worship team is going to echo, and you're going to be part of the echo.
Echo, echo, echo.
Well, that was better. That was better. And it's about the promises of God are true, they're awesome, and they're wonderful, and they are not going to change. And it says the echoing that you're going to shout back with us and you're going to sing because you want to try it. All of your promises won't let go of me. In other words, the promises are true and you just can't get away from it. It's so awesome that you just, they're always in front of you. So that's the big buildup. Are you ready for some fun? This is a song where I run out of breath. I'm just going to forewarn you. I'm going to do my best. And have some fun with it. So sing if you can and you want to, and just shout it out and have a blast honoring God. All of your promises won't let go of me.
All your promises won't let go of me.
Surrender my life to your ways. I have learned what it means to obey. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I am walking the path you've made. I am seeking the truth every day. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I couldn't walk away if I tried. 'Cause your love is better than life. 'Cause the sun shines bright and it just won't set. 'Cause your love is alive as it lights my step. And my heart is amazed every day to the next. My joy overtakes and I can't forget about it. Oh, 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 I can't forget about it. Surrender my life to your ways. I have learned what it means to obey. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I am walking the path you've made. I am seeking the truth every day. 'Cause Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I couldn't walk away if I tried. 'Cause your love is better than life. 'Cause the sun shines bright and it just won't set. and your love is alive as it lights my step. My heart is amazed every day to the next. Your joy overtakes and I can't forget about it. Oh, 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 I can't forget about it. Oh, 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 I can't forget about it. All of your promises won't let go of me.
All your promises won't let go of me.
All of your promises won't let go of me.
All your promises won't let go of me.
'Cause the sun's shining bright and it just won't set. And your love is alive as it lights my step. My heart is amazed every day to the next. Your joy overtakes and I can't forget about it. Oh, 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 I can't forget about it. Won't let go of me.
All your promises won't let go of me.
All of your promises won't let go of me.
All your promises won't let go of me.
All of your promises won't let go of me.
All of your promises won't let go of me.
Woo! Oh, well, if that doesn't get you excited, nah, I don't know what will. God's promises are secure, they're real, they're powerful, and I pray that you can just really hold on to that. His love, never ceasing, his joy, overwhelmingly wonderful, peace that just endures forever. In spite of what the world is doing, and it's pretty messed up right now in so many ways, we can trust him. Amen. We're going to pray over the offering at this time and just allow for you to have that privilege to give. The offering plates are up here for giving in person. The online opportunities have been there all week and are continuing to be there today. So you're welcome to give however you're led to do so. But let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful that we can give. We're thankful that we can hold on to your promises and just rejoice in that truth and just celebrate the truth. And we're thankful that we can give from what you have already blessed us with through our finances. And I ask, Lord God, that you will further your kingdom, that you allow for us to make the adjustments to our building that are absolutely necessary to invite all people without restraint. We're thankful that we have a plan to remodel and to put the ramp in new doors and make it accessible for all. And I just pray, Lord God, you'll continue to go before us to provide the needs for those needs as we are faithful. We just ask for your blessing on each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome to give while we continue to worship. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy.
worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will put my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, and show me who you are, and fill me with your heart, and lead me in your love to those around me. Can stand next to your majesty, next to your holiness. Who can stand? What compares face with your righteousness? Face with your promises, what compares? Here we are, by your grace we stand, matchless King, we've come to sing. Holy are you, Lord, King of all glory. We have come to honor you. Singing hallelujah.
stand next to your majesty, next to your holiness. Who can stand? What compares, faced with your righteousness, faced with your promises? What compares? Here we
God, you are. We don't deserve your love. We don't deserve your forgiveness. And yet you give it so freely. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oftentimes we think in the modern day church that we've avoided the punishment of eternity and we're good. We're like, thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you for mercy. But he doesn't want us to just make it in by the skin of our teeth. He wants to be all in. He requires and demands us to be all in, to totally surrender it all. There's so many things in my life that I could choose to do for me. I mean, the list is really long. You have a list too. And God says, give it to me. That list that you've hung on to so tightly, let go. Let me have it. And we're like, no, Lord, this is the one thing I'm holding. This is the one thing I hold back. And God says, you need to give it all. I want all of it. I want everything. I want all of you. And what we don't grasp until we've done it is that we will not have the long, amazing, without any kind of hint of discouragement peace. We won't have that peace until we've given it all. We think we need this thing, and God says, no, you don't. And sometimes we hand it over to him, and he takes it, and he kind of caresses it a little bit, and he hands it back. He says, there you go. What we wanted just needed to go through his hands. And he brings it back better. Will you surrender it all? I pray that you and I will.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you. Desperate for you, I surrender. Drench my soul with mercy and grace. I hunger and thirst. I hunger and thirst. With arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now. Speak to me now. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There may be someone here this morning that has been holding on to something very tightly. God's saying you got to let it go. I'm going to ask you to come forward. Come to this altar. I want you to go through that motion of literally laying it at the feet of Jesus right now. Thank you. Just lay it down. And just have a time with the Lord and just say, Lord, this is yours. I'm not holding on anymore. Just lay it there. There's more. It's not just one. There we go. God is working in your heart right now. Some of you have said, you know, I've never really given him my life. I'm going to lay my life down and let him have me. Someone for the first time is going to come, accept Jesus as their Savior. Would you do that now? You know who you are. This is your time to surrender it to Jesus completely, not holding back. Listen to his voice. I'm going to sing this chorus a couple more times to you and allow you that time to respond to the Lord.
I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I surrender, I want to know you more, I want to know you more. I surrender, I want to know you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you.
Lord, we surrender to you, all of us, all of what we are, all of what we stand for, completely in your service. Whatever it is that you've accomplished today, Lord, we rejoice in it and we give you thanks for the miracle that has just begun. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you continue with an attitude of worship and honor of God.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for taking the time today to worship the Lord with us and to just allow His Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And I know He's done some marvelous things already in this service. I'm not sure, but I have a feeling someone online was being spoken to as well today. So if that's you, thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit. We're going to just highlight a couple things as we prepare to dismiss kids for Kids Church. We do have Sunday, well, this is Sunday, the last week of Sunday school before our summer break was today. And so we will not have Sunday school from now until September. And look forward to a great Sunday school in the fall as we pick up from there with the new school year and everything else that's going on. And I so enjoy having the opportunity to have class here in the church for all ages. But our teachers enjoy their breaks over the summer as well, and we honor them and bless them with that as well. So the year-end school party that was announced for youth group last week is happening this Wednesday, and I did get a time. It's 6 p.m., and so we will have to leave from the church no later than 5:30 to get to this location by 6. And so that's the plan. If you are going to come, you're asked to bring something of a side to share, possibly cookies, chips, or a salad if you like that kind of thing. So for the youth members that are going to attend, be aware of that and maybe bring some things to share with the other students. And there's three youth groups that are actually coming together for this, and so it's nice to have the invite. Let's see. Ladies, Craft Night is there for you, the Mitchell family schedule. They have a full service schedule this week, or this coming, in the few weeks to come, and it's like jam-packed with great stuff. So if you don't know exactly what's happening, there's three different flyers on the wall behind you. Make sure you check it all out. There's also flyers by the desk, and there's a couple downstairs. Make sure that you take in every opportunity that works for you for that, and it'll be great. VBS, we're excited about VBS. MJ is all rearing to go, and we have some great leaders already lined up. Yes? Okay. All right. Awesome. So all of you who are part of the VBS, make sure you're able to come to that meeting, and it'll be regrouping right before we get ready for the actual VBS. So that'd be wonderful. And let's see. There is something else that's going along with that. It's actually at the bottom of your bulletin. There is going to be some fundraising going on next Sunday and the Sunday following, where there's going to be some candy that you can buy for $1 per M&M package. And it's M&M's for BGMC. So the profits that come from that will go towards the support of missions. So if you're prepared for that, the reason we're saying something this week is so you can have some dollar bills in your pocket and be ready, because I don't know how much change we can make. We take checks, but we usually ask for big checks. No, I'm just kidding. No. So however we need to do it, if push comes to shove, we discussed as leaders that we would take an IOU, but then we have to follow up to make sure we follow through with that. So if you have cash on hand, that'd be awesome. So missionaries will be here next Sunday, Terry and Beth Johnson, and I'm looking forward to hearing from them. They're missionaries to Brazil, I believe, and it'll all be great. So there you go. That's announcements for this week, and we're going to dismiss kids to Kids Church. There we go. While they're going, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. This lesson today will probably be not really long, unless I really get hyped up on one point and just want to really, really hammer it home. It'll probably be a fairly short lesson today. I don't know. We'll see what God wants to do with that. But I know in preparing it, it seemed to come quickly. And it seemed to come smoothly, and there's not a whole ton of information here. It's just really good stuff. But we're going to talk about love. And when I speak of love, oftentimes our automatic gut reaction, our response is to think of romantic love. And we think about, oh, love. And of course, all of you Hallmark movie channel people, you say, oh, love. And you kind of get geared up for that. And that's okay. That's all right. That's your thing, right? Any Hallmark lovers here? Hallmark movie channel? A few. All right. I'll pray for you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kind of kidding. Because I'm serious. They need to, maybe it's been a few years since I've taken it in. Maybe they got better writers that will actually keep me guessing. I'm getting a big shake of the head. No, you can still pretty much know the end from watching the first 5 minutes. Okay, well, that's okay. That's your thing. You like that. You like to be predictable on those things. But that's not the kind of love I'm talking about. Actually, love will take in the romantic love. I mean, it's certainly going to fall in place. But I'm talking about love that is for all people, a love that you have within you because you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You have that Holy Spirit presence in you. And you are filled with the love of God because He is love. And so I'm going to challenge you about being loving. It's an intentional thing. Romantic love, believe it or not, is intentional. There is such a thing as infatuation. You know, infatuation that goes down a dark path would be called lust. But infatuation in and of itself is not wrong. As a matter of fact, I hope you're attracted to the person who is your husband or your wife. I hope there's an attraction there that is a God-given thing that we all have deep within us. But there is an intentionality in your loving relationship. And if you don't intentionally love, you're going to be in trouble. Romans chapter 13 is not speaking of the romantic love, but it is challenging us in loving all people always, every day, all our lives. And so let's look to it, shall we? And read verses 8 through verse 14. You can follow along with the scriptures on the screen. There is a church app if you don't have it. I forget what to say to get it available to you, but we have that ability to also follow along from there as well. Owe no one anything. All right, all you Dave Ramsey fans, you're saying amen. Hallelujah, praise God, amen. Preach it, brother. And I get that. I really appreciate what he teaches. I don't always follow it as well as he would like me to, but it is a good teaching. But it says, owe no one anything except. Except what? To love. You owe everyone your love. Well, they don't deserve my love. They don't deserve my forgiveness. They don't deserve my grace. They don't deserve my kindness. Oh, have you been forgiven? Are you a follower of Christ? You owe that person love. No matter how they treat you, you owe, you are in debt, you have to pay. All right, let's go home, let's pray. I mean, I've had it, that's enough, I can't take anymore. No. Let me get back to the scripture. You're like, will you please read it? I will. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor who is like yourself. I changed the words there because that's actually what is written in the original. Love your neighbor who is like yourself. Your neighbor is just like you. Love them. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Whew. That'll preach. Let's pray. Lord God, Thank you for the challenge to love. We all need this challenge. I need to be reminded often. And so here we are. And I pray, Lord God, that you will anoint me to speak your words, that your truth will bear out, and that we will all benefit from what you have to say. Anoint us to hear. And Lord, as we are able and willing, anoint us to successfully follow what you're challenging us each with today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the foundation of all that has been said about fulfilling the law of God towards mankind, it can be summed up with one single point. Love your neighbor who is like yourself. Years ago, I remember the battle and the struggle of that loving your neighbor as yourself, which was not the best way of translating the original writings. Because some of us took it to heart that we thought, well, if I don't love myself, then I don't have to love my neighbor. I've literally had that conversation. Well, Pastor, if I don't love myself, then I'm off the hook. Well, first of all, you need help because you are a wonderful person. God created for a specific reason, and you are loved, and you need to learn how to love yourself. So if you're struggling with loving who you are and who God made you to be, he can help you with that. He can do the miracle of giving you that understanding of you are valuable, you are precious, you're beautiful, you're wonderfully made. And that's a whole nother lesson. But that's not what was being said. What actually was being said is love your neighbor who is like yourself, meaning the person sitting next to you, the person across the aisle, the person that doesn't even look like you, that's your neighbor. They're just like you. And then people were wondering, well, who is my neighbor? And then he gave the story of the Samaritan, as we all know the story, of how the religious people were not very kind to the poor man that was beaten and hurting on the road. But the one man who did show grace and mercy and kindness, who actually out of his own pocket gave the needs to be met in order to make sure he was well, was a Samaritan who was the lowlife of the area. He was the one that was the down and the out. Nobody wanted to be around because, ooh, a Samaritan. There was a class of people in that day, and he was on the low class. And Jesus asked him, after telling the story, who in this story was the neighbor? And the religious leaders couldn't do anything else but say, well, the Samaritan? I kind of put my own emphasis in there. But they recognized the point, the Samaritan. And he goes, so it is true, you are correct. Good for you. Love your neighbor, the Samaritan, who's just like you. Well, I'm not a half-breed. I'm not half-Jewish and half-whatever else. Doesn't matter. We're all the same. Isn't that a beautiful word for this culture today when people are trying to ramp up racial tensions and God says, love your neighbor who is like yourself. Hilda doesn't look anything like me and she's just like me. Isn't that awesome? Totally different background, comes from another part of the world, and she and I are the same. And so it's easy to grasp and understand when you get the full culture understanding. But here's the thing. If we truly love our neighbor, then we won't hurt them. We won't do anything to cause them injury or harm, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, none of that. We won't do anything to hurt our neighbor if we are truly loving our neighbor. And that goes for siblings too, by the way. I'm looking at four very special people in my life. Three of them looked at me. Four, okay, now we got it home. Yeah, we're just, love your sibling. Well, what does that mean? That means give them the bigger portion of food. Let them have the bigger portion of ice cream. Yeah, yeah. It's so fun. I mean, having teenagers, wow. Wow. All I can say is wow. I'm like, man, I got to go back to school for this. I'll figure this all out. I don't think they have a book that actually gives all the answers. So, but how are you doing at loving people? I'll tell you how I have done and how I need to get better, and I hope I continue to get better. It's been pointed out, and it's accurate, it's true. Loving you, it's an intentional love. Some of it comes easy. Most of it comes easy. Sometimes it might be difficult, but I willingly and intentionally will love you. That's my promise. The unfortunate reality is I go home and I take my guard down and I let my selfishness rise. And the ones I live with that I truly love the deepest and the most, I end up being less loving. I'm not giving excuses, I'm saying a fact. It's really sad that the people we are closest to are the ones that we have to work at the hardest to love. And it's not because we don't love them, we just don't try as hard to make sure we're loving intentionally the way Jesus told us to. Somehow we think, well, I got to get some before I give some in this relationship. And that is the exact opposite of what Christ has done for you. The exact opposite of what God has commanded you to do. And yet we are guilty of it. We all are. So let us understand that loving is the way to fulfill the law. As a matter of fact, it's a radical thing to say. The two commandments that are mentioned, and I'll get to that in just a minute, if you can do these two things, I mean, not even a three-point outline, just two things. One is love your neighbor, other is love God. If you can do those two, you will never, ever sin. You will literally be sinless. Grasp that. Well, I can do two things. I mean, really? I mean, I was thinking there had to be 150 things. No, it's just two. Love your neighbor, love God. It's that simple. And the cool factor is this. When the Holy Spirit is with you and in you, He helps you know when you're not being loving. He goes, alarm, alarm, boop, boop. Back it up, boop, boop. The church has a car. I got to tell you this. It's so dumb. Inside the car, you put it in reverse. It's a 6-speed manual transmission. You put it in reverse and it beeps inside the car. I'm like, what? Who sitting in their office somewhere in Timbuktu decided to put a beeper inside the car? Beep, beep, beep. I know I put it in reverse. You don't have to beep at me to tell me that. I don't know. Somebody had too much time on their hands. It's so annoying. If I could find the plug on that one, right? No, the beeping is so you don't back over somebody or you let everybody else know, hey, I'm coming, I can't see you. But no, they beep inside the car in this one, so whoa. Back it up. Realize that you are not loving right now. Your words are hurtful and destructive. They are not nice. Stop it. Well, you can't just tell me to stop it. Yes, I can. I just did. It's that simple. Well, God has to move me to stop it. No, He doesn't. Everything we're going to read today is about intentionality. Clothe yourself with Christ. Well, Jesus comes in my heart, and he overtakes me, and He empowers me. Yes, 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 but you put Him on every morning. That doesn't mean you got to get saved again. Oh, well, you had a salvation moment, and now tomorrow to have another one. No, it's you have to mentally remember, I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm going to put on His Spirit. I'm going to let His Spirit lead me. I'm going to be obedient to His Spirit, and I'm going to have the character of Christ in me today. And then you wake up the next day, and you realize, oh my goodness, I have to make that decision again. And then I have to do it again. And then I have to do it again. And oops, I forgot. There's no oops, I forgot. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Every day. Look at Mark chapter 12. Verse 28 through verse 34. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love your Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, or a better understanding, love your neighbor who is like yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And listen to what the scribe says. The scribe said, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Whoa. The Messiah, the one who has always been, God who became flesh, gave a tremendous compliment. After Jesus said those words, no one dared to ask him any more questions. I gotta love that. So Paul addresses this in another place. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 13 and verse 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor who is like yourself. I want to encourage you to be intentional. Intentionally love. Don't let your emotions run you. Don't let your rights demand things of others. You gave up those rights. You surrendered them. You are required by the commands of Jesus himself to love. If you struggle with what you say, then don't speak. Take time. Think about it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And then open your mouth. You might be surprised what he says through you in a very loving manner. If you react quickly, you may need to start changing that habit. Because your intentional actions of love are hard work. They're not easy. This culture today has stopped putting the challenge of that before us. It's almost as if everybody says, whatever you feel, just let it out. Just react. While throughout the entire New Testament, you're being told, stop. Love. Put on Christ. Take off the world. You are not going to just automatically respond the way God wants you to without intentionality. And when you are intentional with how you feel and how you react and become a loving person on purpose, you will be amazed how that becomes easier and grows in you through the repetition of good habits rather than bad. I've had people give me all kinds of excuses why they can act the way they do, and it's justified because of their heritage. We all have different heritages. It doesn't count. It doesn't work. Well, I'm German, so? Well, that's where my stubbornness comes from. Okay, fine. I'm stubborn too. Well, I have a really hot temper. I'm a redhead. Yeah, me too. I'm Irish. Yep, been there, done that. I don't know what the Dutch have for issues, but I'm whatever that is too. I even got a little Scandinavian. Yeah, sure, you betcha. I'm pretty well messed up. But it's my sin nature that's the most difficult to overcome. And that's why Jesus said I have to take up my cross every day. Love is going to fulfill the law in your life. And that is like, whoa, I can't fulfill the law. Yeah, you can. You can actually love people and not sin against them. It's amazing. You won't want to take their stuff because you love them. You won't want to covet what they have because you're happy for them, because that's what love does. There's so many ways that it applies in our lives that we are just kind and wonderful to others, no matter how they treat us. Why? Because we have the love of God within, and we are challenged to intentionally love as He loves. We can go into a whole lesson about the husband and wife relationship, about the sacrifice of the person that is in that position of loving to the other. They're both great sacrifices that take intentionality. If you think you're accidentally going to love your spouse the way God wants you to, you're wrong. There's no accidentally anything about love. Love is always hard. It's always sacrifice. It's always worth it. No matter how you feel. Well, I don't feel like loving. Get over it. Do it anyway. And I am going to, I don't want to go down that path. I was going to say, sometimes, the men in the house here, they probably feel a little less in touch with their feelings than the ladies. Now, it's not always the case, but often it is. And sometimes, men, you will do things because you know it's the right thing to do in your action of love, even though you don't feel like doing it. Any amens in the house? Okay. And that's a good thing. So ladies, just to kind of give you a heads up, don't tell them, well, you didn't feel like buying me flowers. You just crushed him because you're right. He didn't. He had a hard time thinking of the cost of those flowers and how they're going to wilt and die in just a matter of hours or days and how silly it may seem in the practical world, but he knows you like flowers, so he went and did it anyway, and now you're crushing him because you're like, well, he didn't feel like it. Well, no. Men don't feel the same as women feel. So don't crush him because he didn't feel, because the feelings actually follow the action. And that's not always a bad thing. Now, the same can be said from the other side of this whole argument of the loving relationship, husband and wife. But you get the point. Understand and know each other better so you can love intentionally, and don't hurt each other along the way when you're trying to have that building of love. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 now, and let's get through this a little quicker. Do this understanding the present time. We believe we're in the end days, and that has only exponentially increased the urgency of loving in this world that we live. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Verse 15, it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. All of these things are intentional things. Walking is intentional. Unless you're sleepwalking, that can happen, I suppose. But you intentionally put your feet under your body and start to move. Well, be careful where you intentionally put your feet. It's that simple. Making the best of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to be aware of where we're walking. We need to be aware of how we are responding as light in this world. Putting on Christ is part of that. The night is ending, the daylight has come. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Just one verse that I want to read there. It says, "And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." The word of God is a light in a dark world. It is your advantage. It exposes the darkness. God's word brings light into the darkness. So use the word of God liberally in your life. Amen? Loving others keeps us from sin and causes us to care. It's kind of cool how that works. Rather than get all angry and uptight and emotionally just kind of disoriented because you're letting your emotions run your life, you intentionally choose love. And after having done so, there's something that's just kind of amazing happening, that you actually find yourself caring about the way you're lovingly acting to someone else. You start to see them from a different perspective. You start to appreciate the things that are represented in that person that you had a hard time loving, but now it seems to be coming easier. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in your life. Be loving. There's no excuse. I mean, we can even talk about politics and talk about people on the other side of the aisle from what I believe is the right place to stand. And when I get into a political discussion, I'm very careful because I love the person more than I want to be right. I want to say that again. It's really important for you to hear this. It's more important for you to love that person than for you to be right. That's hard for me. I like to be right. Ask anybody that knows me well. And there's a part of me that will go to the wall on that one. I will fight the top, highest hill, and it's a mountain and a hill worth dying on. I'm right. Is it worth losing the soul that you're trying to reach? Probably not. Probably not. That doesn't mean we don't get involved. And as I reiterated to the Mitchells recently, I believe we should be actively involved with our local government and our state government and our nation. Amen? And I pray and I hope that you are making a stand and you are voting and you're participating. If you are complaining about the place our country is in or our local community or our state and you're not voting and you're not involved, then keep your mouth shut. I don't want to hear it. But if you're involved, you're making your voice heard and you are part of the system in voting, then you understand that maybe you're just overrun by more people on the other side of the issue, and it's frustrating, it's disheartening, but at least you had your voice heard. But I want to caution you that God did not call us to be conservatives in our world. He called us to be His children. The higher purpose is the soul of that person that you may see as an enemy. God sees them as a child that needs to know His love. So let's love our enemies. That actually sounds biblical. Why? Because they're you. They're you. Love your neighbor who is just like you. Do you know who I would be without Christ in my life? I would likely be serving life in prison. Without Jesus Christ, I probably would have killed at least one person. If I had a chance, probably more. Not because I want to kill people, but because I had no control of my temper. It was a wicked and evil dominating force that without the intervention of the miracle power of God, I would likely have killed. That's how terrible it is. Love your neighbor who's just like you. Loving others keeps us from sin. It causes us to care. Put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. It is an intentional action you have to do. Lastly, clothe yourselves with Christ. That was verse 14 in our text, if you recall. There's no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Take the I and the me out of the equation. Take your I, meaning yourself, your me-ism out of it. Did Jesus ever do anything about himself? He did all for the glory of the Father. And he called us to be just like him. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male or female. All are one in Christ. We are the same. You need to put on Christ. How does that look? That means you're unoffendable. How are we doing on that one? And I always say it this way, you can't offend a dead person. It's impossible. They're dead. And what did Jesus say that we need to do? We need to crucify the flesh. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what Paul said. Basically, when you see me, you see Christ. I put on Christ every day. I love as he loves. You cannot offend me. I will say you can hurt me. What is an offense? Well, an offense is I want you to hurt the same way you hurt me. If you feel that way towards somebody, you need to forgive. How many times should I forgive that person that hurts me? Oh, I don't know, 70 times 7 or so. But that's the same person. 70 times 7, what is that? That means always. But that's impossible, Lord, because if my brother sins against me once, that's a mistake. It's an accident. If he does it twice, well, maybe he just didn't learn. But the 70th time? I mean, I think it's possible it's intentional. I'm just saying that they actually are trying to hurt me. Yes, forgive him. Oh. Are you unoffendable? Are you forgiving? Always. You need to put on Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22, we'll begin there, and that's how we'll wrap up our lesson for the day. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 22. What's amazing about the lesson today is that you can do it. I mean, if I were telling you to go walk on water, you might say, well, you know, Peter did do that. But, you know, he did sink, and that's a pretty tall order. I mean, but what I'm asking of you and what the Lord is asking of you is possible. It's actually something you can do. It's within your grasp to love somebody and to love him. We don't always do it well because we're human, but we can do better and we can continue to get better. You can actually be a loving person because of the power of God who is in you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Put off your old self. Done with that. Whatever that is, I'm done with it. My old self. Well, that was easy. It belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt. It's deceitful. It's got deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. New self. Boom. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Ooh, I love you. You know, anger is not a sin. It's how we handle anger that becomes sinful. Jesus got pretty angry. He turned over a few tables, chased a few people where they weren't supposed to be out of the building, out of the arena, out of the area. Elvis has left the building, right? Whatever that is. Jesus got angry. And we're told it was not sinful. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity for the devil. I like the one that says, give him no foothold. Let the thief, anybody here steal? Stop it. Look at that. It's so simple. Let the thief no longer steal. But rather let him labor. Actually, go get a job. Wow, God tells us to get jobs. Wow, that's kind of cool. All the young people said amen. I just had to put that out there. I'm not sure why. Let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So, oh, you mean I'm supposed to work, get money, and feed myself, put clothes on my body, and help others? What do you know? That's pretty cool. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths. What did I just say about if you can't say something nice, just stop speaking? That's the old thumper rule from Bambi. Horrible movie, terrible movie, absolutely deplorable. It really is. Seriously, you cannot be a Midwest, upper Midwest man who enjoys the outdoors and watch that movie without getting really angry. I'm a hunter. Pew, 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 pew. Oh, there's a butterfly. Boom, 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 boom. Welcome to the movie Bambi. It's like, what in the world is that? Man, I grew up doing this. I didn't look anything like that. Take that aside for just a moment. And Thumper was told great wise words. If you can't say nothing nice, then don't say nothing at all. If you can't say anything nice, don't speak. Well, I still have it in my heart. Yeah, work on that. You need to work on that. But stop hurting people with your words. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Oh, wow. Okay, Lord, I can do that too. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God from whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Literally, put it away from you. That's an intentional, purposeful reaction to the call of God in your life. You're going to stop doing that too. Put it away from you along with all malice. Be kind. Wow. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Wow. Well, everything I said today is possible for you to do, for me to do. Will you own it? Will you embrace it? I want to challenge you to do that. I am very thankful that I have heard many reports in the last few years of people who have come to visit our assembly that have said they felt the love of God. They felt welcomed, and the peace of God was present. That is a compliment to you being loving people. So God bless you for that. That's great. And I believe it's still true today. The challenge, actually where it gets hard, isn't loving people as they come here. It's how are you doing when you go out there? How are you doing when you're downtown at the gas pump, shopping in the grocery stores or going to a supermarket? How are you doing when people are rude and obnoxious to you? Intentionally just hurting others around them. Are you loving? You can be. I challenge you to be loving. Because I believe that is the way that people will come to Christ, is because of your continual love as you serve him with your whole heart. There's your challenge going into this week and the rest of our life. Amen? Would you stand with me as we close? If you love, you will not sin. If you love, you will testify. If you love, you will put on Christ as you clothe yourself with him every day. What does that mean? That's the character of Christ. What is the character of Christ? Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. To be born again, to become a new creation as Christ, in Christ, is an act of God. It takes divine intervention to be born again. So don't misunderstand me today. But it is a walk in faith as a believer that becomes intentional. Loving doesn't just happen to you. It's a choice you make to do. Forgiveness is a choice. To be unoffendable is a choice. To be Christ to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors is a choice. And I want to encourage you, choose love today. For the day is near. Amen. Lord God, thank you for the challenge. I've needed that. I want to increase my loving capabilities. Even when things are hard, when things become overwhelming and my emotions are pressed, I need to be intentionally aware of it, and I haven't always been. Help me to be better as I give you my whole heart and as I choose to love always. Help all of us as we go into our mission field, into our worlds, as we leave today equipped and encouraged with the new challenge of an old challenge, loving. I pray your grace to be upon us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Love people today, and remember to love them tomorrow. God bless.